What's up, ComicAttack.net listeners? Welcome back to the Comics Dispatch. My name is Andy.
And I'm Daniel.
And we're going to talk some recent news with you from this past week. First and foremost, Daniel, did you attend any cool event this past weekend?
I was there for the last hour of the Last Mortal press, or I guess it's a release party, isn't it?
It was awesome. A release party.
It was pretty damn awesome being there after hours. So it was just, what, three comic book creators just chilling in there, getting tattoos and everything?
Yes. At the Last Mortal release party, we did have live tattoos. Philip Sablik, the publisher of Top Cow, got the logo tattooed live in the art gallery of Collector's Paradise. I think there's pictures up on their site, comicsandcards.net, if you want to check it out. But it was pretty awesome. What who else was there?
Jim McCann was there. I got a video actually of him getting his tattoo. I should post that sometime. It's pretty funny. Who else was there? I wasn't there whenever Josh Felkov was there, but I hear he was there and he was having a blast.
Yeah, I think Mark Silvestri was there as well in the beginning.
Oh, was he? That would have been cool to meet him as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my second job, because this is technically my third job, keeps me from doing a whole lot.
The hospital?
Yeah, the hospital.
Damn it, I'm too busy saving people's lives.
God damn it, I'm a doctor!
Comic store.
But no, I wish, hopefully they'll have another event party like that during the weekday.
Yeah, that was...
I had to work.
That was pretty fucking rad. Like, no doubt about it. I mean... When has that ever been done? I don't know, but Philip was really cool. He got an awesome tattoo, the Ouroboro, which is the logo of Last Mortal, the snake eating its own tail. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got it on his back shoulder. It took a couple of hours. And then Jim McCann got a barcode tattooed, and it was like the Dapper Man number from Return of the Dapper Man, which is a phenomenal book. I can't recommend it higher, especially if you have kids. It's a great one to read to him. And the art is just phenomenal by Janet Lee. I actually own a piece, or I will soon. I just have to finish paying her. But, yeah, who else was there? Who else got a tat?
Didn't you receive a tat?
But wasn't there another creator? Or am I thinking...
I have no idea. I got there right as you were finishing up, and Jim was getting his.
Right. Yeah, John Mahoney was there too, the dude who co-wrote the book, as well as, yeah, you said Josh. He was really awesome. We're going to be having Josh on our show. I'll tell you when, maybe at the end of the show, maybe not, but he will be on soon. And then who's there? Troy Pateri. I think that's how you say his last name. He does a lot of lettering for Top Cow, and he's writing Abattoir right now from Radical, which is like this sick horror book. It's like just creepy. And then someone else was there. Oh yeah, Mel, Kalo from Arkea. So yeah, a lot of people, but not when you were there. You were there. You got there late.
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed meeting all these people before we actually have them on the show.
But they will be on the show, right?
As far as I know, you're the one that sets up the meetings.
I know.
I'm the one that takes care of the recording.
And all the funny quips.
The funny quips are always included. I think I should just save like all the edited stuff, and we should have a best of uncensored.
I think that's a good idea. We don't really edit much. I mean, come on, Howard Chaykin last weekend in episode 6.
So, how did that feel, having your ass handed to you by Howard?
You know, it was humbling. It was enjoyable.
He's a kick-ass dude, though. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I love it. You know, like I'm kind of the same way. So, not to his extent of success or, you know.
Howard, if you're listening, come by the store. We'd love to meet you personally.
I don't think Howard's listening.
I don't think so either. But we do know the FBI is listening.
Yes, the FBI do tap Skype conversations. So.
Oh, I was just going to say I have a cousin that's an FBI agent. So.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah, so we do know that they're listening.
Is he like an agent, or is he like, you know, taking the trash out at night for the FBI?
I think he's an agent. I don't think he's like Seeley Booth or anything. I just think he just works with the FBI.
He should have come to our tattoo party.
That would have just been weird.
What, FBI guys can't have fun?
No, they're FBI.
Yeah. Did you have any drinks while you were there? Because there were free drinks and free mixed drinks with a Last Mortal theme.
No, I did not have any drinks, but I stole some drinks. I actually just drank one. I had a Landshark not 3 minutes ago.
Ugh, Landshark, nasty.
Well, it was either that or the mojito that, who was it that had one? Was it Ed? I believe Ed had one and said it tasted like cough medicine.
Oh, well, yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot left to choose from.
Wait, the mojito, was that bottled? How did you drink it?
It was bottled. I've never seen a bottled mojito.
Yeah, well, what do you expect? That's going to be disgusting. Like, come on.
I don't know. I took a couple of the sangrias for Abby. She can try them out.
I did have one of the Last Mortal mixed drinks, and holy shit, it fucked me up. I was a little drunk last night, I think.
Yes, you were.
Surprisingly, I was just like, holy shit, this one drink is fucking knocking me on my ass. And then I had one beer to just kind of chase it, and that beer was delicious.
I'm pretty sure that you were getting your beer mixed up with other people's beers, because there's like 3 half-empty beers just sitting on the counter.
No, that did not
After happen. I cleaned up.
No, I was done.
Oh. I don't know.
Got there at 1 o'clock.
I got there at 12:30. Let's get it right.
12:30, yeah.
How awesome is that our store is open until 12:30 while people are getting tattoos, though?
I know. And I did get a tattoo. It's of a baby elephant. Well, I guess it's for my daughter, Elizabeth, but her birthday is there in the numbers. And the tattoo was designed by Tess Fowler and her husband, Chris, who are awesome people. We will have Tess on later.
Yeah, I talked to Chris not too long ago when he came in the store.
Yeah, I mean, both really chill, both awesome artists. She designed it on the spot for me, and I got it done. It took like 20 minutes. It's just line work. You know, it's not colored or anything, but it looks fucking awesome.
You should get it colored like pink or something. There you go.
I was thinking about that, to be honest with you, but then I was like, nah. Because color just ends up looking shitty.
I think if you don't mix up the colors, then it doesn't come out as bad.
Yeah, but it still fades.
Yeah, it fades, but it's easier to get recolored, though, if it's just one color.
Yeah, I just didn't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to keep making repeated trips. You
know? So what you're saying is we're just going to have to keep getting you drunk and making you color it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. It was an impulsive decision, though. I mean, I kind of went in knowing I wanted a tattoo, but like I said, she designed it on the spot, and I was like, well, if I don't like the design, I'm not going to get it. But holy shit, they nailed it.
Yeah. How much did it cost you?
It was $40, but then I tipped her pretty well. So it was a little
A lot better than the $200 that you were telling me about.
Yeah, what the fuck? I went into this tattoo shop, like, I don't know, a week and a half ago in Hollywood, right near where I live. And the guy's stuff was okay. Like, it looked like a lot of, like pirates and... But not like clean pirates, like they were like really like brushy. I don't know if that makes sense, but they weren't like, it wasn't distinct lines. It was just kind of, it wasn't good is what I'm trying to say. And I asked him, I was like, hey, so could you do like an elephant? He's like, yeah, circus elephant. And I'm like, no, like a little baby elephant, you know? He's like, yeah, circus elephant. And I'm like, no, like a little normal baby elephant. He's like, oh, well, it's not going to look real. And I was like, what is going on?
This is the most retarded conversation I think I've ever had.
Yeah. And I was just like, well, how much would it be? And he's like, where do you want it? And I showed him. He's like, $200. And I was like, okay. Good to know. Thank you. I just left. Never went back, obviously. But I'm very happy with this.
Yeah, it looks good. I better talk to Tess and have her design me up something.
Yeah, and I wanted to keep it simple, you know? But, so yeah, that event, fucking awesome, without a doubt. Everyone was super chill. It's a good atmosphere. We had a DJ spinning, playing some beats. So, yeah.
Sweet.
I also got an original piece of art.
Yeah, I know. I hope I get a hold of Philip. I'd really like to have a piece of that.
That's fucking cool.
That art is amazing in that book, by the way.
It is.
If you haven't read it.
Last Mortal, ladies and gentlemen, number one, came out last week. You should be able to find it. It is good. Well, cool, man. Let's talk about this week's news. But beforehand, just so you know, our guest today is Rick Bass, an artist for Top Cow. He does a lot of inking. He's a really chill dude. We just kind of shoot the shit for a while. So it's one of those interviews where you just lay back, kind of just talk about stuff, you know?
Have you noticed that all the people we interview from like SoCal are all really laid back, except for Howard?
Yeah, he was laid
In
back.
that case, he just hands your ass all over the place.
Hey, he kept my vocabulary in check. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You now know the proper usage of penultimate.
Yeah, well, that's no. I was asking him what was his second least favorite work.
Because nobody wants to know your least favorite work. Keep
Nope.
everybody
I didn't
guessing.
ask his least. I asked his second least.
I know. I'm saying that in general, nobody wants to know anybody's least favorite work.
Well, you know, that's something we'll let the masses decide.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk some movies. There was a new Green Lantern trailer that aired, focusing more on the core. You get to see a lot of different characters. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. It didn't really move me to seeing the movie anymore. I mean, I'm gonna see it anyway, but I don't know, something felt off with Sinestro. I don't know what it is. Just something doesn't feel right with him.
It looks so animated.
Well, there's that, but I mean, like you mentioned before, why is everybody British?
Well, they.
They're aliens. Why are they British?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that kind of took me out of it the most was how you can tell, like, they just put people's faces on, computer-generated bodies. And it's like, why? I want to see actors.
Didn't they learn their lesson from Star Wars?
Yeah, and like I was just watching Top Gun earlier, and I'm just like, there's a reason why this movie's so good. It's like, because it's real, you know?
I still say when Goose dies is the saddest moment in like movie history.
Yeah, that whole movie is just, I mean, it's just actual jets flying. Like, if those were computer animated, the movie wouldn't be as cool either, right? Like, if that whole scene was animated fighters or
What's
jets
his
or
name?
whatever.
Is it Michael Ironside that plays like the premier villain beside Val Kilmer in that?
I don't know.
But yeah, the whole movie's amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, when I see Green Lantern, it just looks like it's so done, you know?
Yeah, like I said, it feels like Star Wars, like not the good trilogy, the suck trilogy. No offense, George Lucas, but come on, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does. I do like the music, though. I have to give it that. The music was pretty fucking cool.
The sound effects sound awesome.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna give it a shot, but I don't know. I'm not liking what I'm seeing. I don't want to watch a cutscene for 2 hours or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I fast forward through those in video games. Like, I want to play the game. I want to watch a movie. I want to see
Well, no,
real life people.
sometimes it depends on the video game.
Like,
Like
what
Dark
one?
Sword. Any of the Final Fantasy cutscenes are amazing.
Okay.
Halo ones, I know that it sounds weird, but sometimes you get to see some interesting things in those.
So, yeah, I mean, sticking with the movie theme as well, did you see the new Bane photo that came out?
I don't like that Bane. That doesn't look like Bane to me.
From The Dark Knight Rises?
It doesn't look like Bane. Tom Hardy, okay, I guess I can see how this is gonna play out. I liked Inception, it was okay. And but I really re remember his role in Band of Brothers, and he was just a side character, but he did a really well job, really good job there.
What character was he? Who was his what's his guy like? I want to see that show.
What, Band of Brothers?
Yeah.
He was just like one of the side soldiers. I mean, he only has a couple speaking parts.
Do you own that series?
Yes, I do.
Can I borrow it?
Yes, you can.
Amazing. When I'm done with my Star Trek marathon, though.
Okay. actually, I was thinking about this. Bane is a good villain, but only if you're going to try to pull the storyline from Nightfall, which you and I have had long conversations about how awesome that storyline is.
It is. It's just so good. I mean, it's the best, one of the best Batman stories, hands down.
But
just in terms of like how epic it was.
I was sitting there thinking about it while I was looking at this picture. How much better would it have been, given Christopher Nolan's directing, if they would have had Hush come in, or the return of Ra's al Ghul?
Well, I don't know about that so much as I don't know about why do we need Bane.
Yeah, he doesn't really fit in the universe that he's created for these movies.
He does. I mean, it doesn't look terrible. I mean, I have faith, you know, but it doesn't look good. Obviously, again, you know, it's the movies. They're tinkering with the character. He doesn't have the Venom stuff going in and out. He just looks like he's wearing like what looks like a bondage mask made of the bones of a hand.
Yeah, I'm not getting behind the costume so far. Maybe once we get like a full shot of it or something.
Yeah. So there's that. Let's talk about some Ultimate covers that were revealed for the new Ultimate Comics line we reported on a few episodes back. Spearheaded by Jonathan Hickman, they've revealed covers for Ultimate Comics X-Men, Ultimate Comics Ultimates, Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and Ultimate Comics Hawkeye. The Hawkeye one being a miniseries. What do you think of these, Daniel?
I love what Cary Andrews is doing. It has that Ultimate feel to it. Like, the current Ultimate Comics doesn't feel like an Ultimate book.
Really? I disagree.
Like on the cover, it feels like it when you read it, but on the cover, that's not what I'm expecting.
Yeah, yeah. They've always been, like, really nice, you know, portraits of these characters.
Yeah, and instead we get, I mean, they're still nice covers, but it just doesn't feel like an Ultimate Comics cover.
These do, though.
Yeah, it's surprising that these aren't, it doesn't say that they're variants, but they look so much like variant comics.
Yeah, they're very textured. There's a lot going on there. Which one's your favorite one?
The Hawkeye.
Yeah, with the target and stuff?
Yeah, I that thing is so badass with them shooting all the arrows.
Yeah. I'm going to say the X-Men one. Obviously, we're getting a new Wolverine, which is going to be his son, that guy. So I guess is Ultimate Dawkins. But what's cool is the mask. Did you look at the mask?
Yeah.
What, did you see the whiskers?
Is it whiskers? Because it wraps it wraps all the way around his face.
Yeah, but it's an ultimate take on the traditional costume, literally the first appearance costume.
What about Johnny Storm in the background and Iceman wearing the hat? That was pretty cool.
Hey, Johnny Storm's wearing an X in the center of his chest instead of a 4. I am so glad to see this. And Iceman's got the baseball cap going forward.
Is that Kitty next to him?
Oh, yeah, that's Kitty.
That's what I wasn't sure on, because right now she's wearing red.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's wearing, oh, in the comics, right.
Yeah.
Currently, yeah. Thought you mentioned that picture. But no, I mean, if this is the team, I'm digging it.
Yeah, the only one that they've mentioned that the book centered around is Rogue, and you don't see her. Also curious as to where Jean Grey is.
Is this should, like, be in there.
Is this like a precursor to what happens in Ultimate Comics X number 5? Or Ultimate Fallout? Who knows?
Right. And
this is Jean Grey, so she could die. Nobody really notice anything.
What do you think of that Spider-Man cover?
That's badass. Have you heard anything more about it?
No, but in looking at this cover, do you not think of Batman Beyond?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
This, apparently the Ultimate Spider-Man, I'm not trying to give out any spoilers here, is supposed to be centered on Donald Glover's take of it from Community.
Huh.
Whenever they were doing the casting for the new Spider-Man movie, they wanted Donald Glover was trying to get the role. So I think this is essentially what his character would have been at if he got the movie role.
Okay. Okay. I'm interested. You know, like I said, I trust Bendis. Just sucks that they have to start everything all over again.
Yeah, I'm tired of number ones.
I know, right? Or reboots.
Well, on the plus side, I mean, we are getting an Ultimates ongoing instead of like a 10-issue miniseries.
But it's basically like an ongoing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like every 4 issues a new arc, but they continue right after the other.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. The covers look awesome. The teams look amazing. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, X-Men Destiny is introducing Grant Alexander, a new mutant, in their upcoming video game, again, called X-Men Destiny. It's Marvel and Activision doing the game, but... okay, apparently this character, he's a jock, from what I'm reading. In San Francisco, he's going to the University of California in Berkeley, and he gets mutant powers one day, obviously, and he's kind of opposed to mankind. It's almost like, you know, Magneto syndrome going on. But, I don't know, the character looks kind of dumb.
see, here's the thing, like, from what I'm reading about X-Men Destiny, and this is Activision, so they're the producers of Ultimate Alliance and the Shattered Dimensions. So, I mean, they know how to do the superhero stuff right. But apparently you get to choose from, like, 3 different paths. So what we're seeing is him being, like, a Brotherhood type. You could easily make him fall in line underneath Cyclops or something.
But why? Why not just use Cyclops?
Because you're a new mutant, is what it's supposed to be. And you're going to make the choices.
So this guy is one of 3 playable characters?
Yeah, from what I'm understanding about the game.
All right, well, that's cool. I just know what's going to happen, though. They're going to incorporate him into comics, and they're just going to be another mutant running around, which is like, dude, we have so many other mutants we can talk about right now. We don't need any new ones. That's what this. You're undoing M-Day. M-Day helped mop the floor with the crap.
You know what I want to see? Rockslide and Enola fucking teaming up again.
That's no, I want to see Rockslide and Jubilee.
Well, she can be a part of the team too.
All right,
but Enola, you have to have Enola. That dynamic in X Dudes was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was the best one in that X-Men. What was the mini called?
X-Men: The Serve and Protect, I think.
Serve and Protect, right? That was the best one, X Dudes. It worked. It was just quippy, you know. It'd have to be a mini. I don't think you could stretch that out terribly long, unless it's like the team book, you know. Despite it just being called X Dudes, it's still a team book. You still get a lot of other characters in.
Yeah, I mean there's what, 197 mutants or something out there now.
So I don't think there's less than that.
Well, however many there are, I'm sure there's enough for more than 3 teams.
Yeah, but at the same time, I want to see stories with the current characters, like our previous New Mutants cast. And we've talked about it before, you know, Surge, X-23. I mean, I know X-23 has her own book, but more like Surge, Hellion, you know, Dust, those characters.
Well, yeah.
Enola and Rockslide.
I would love to see that as well, but, I mean, plus what you have going on in the New Mutants book, and you got the X-Men, and then the Uncanny X-Men... There's so many characters that are untouched that they can form a team with these other mutants and make some dynamics happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't disagree.
We have confirmation that Jason Aaron will be getting his own X-Men team book. Is it going to be a new book? I hope so, and I hope he brings in more characters than just Cyclops, Wolverine, and Storm.
Emma?
Yeah, and Emma. I'm tired of seeing... I mean, don't get me wrong, they're the foundations of the X-Men, but at the same time... Let's get some new blood in there.
Yeah, I would, you know, just because he's my favorite character, I want to see Jason Aaron write Iceman. I think he could give him an edge that the character desperately needs.
Well, that's the thing. Iceman's not a player so at the moment. So, yeah, he could easily go onto a team. He could be, like, the leader of the whole new mutants or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
So, speaking of new things, IDW has announced the details of their new series, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles #1. The series, it's a reboot. It's kicking off in August. And apparently it's being, you know, solicited as to be done in the style of Eastman and Laird's original early 80s Turtles run. So that's kind of cool. It will be in color. But all the Ninja Turtles, you know, they all have the red bandanas. Some of them are different colors of green. But I think it sounds fucking cool. It's being laid out by Kevin Eastman. He's also going to be doing variant covers. And Tom Waltz is writing. He did Silent Hill, Past Life, and Infestation Outbreak. And coming out as co-writer, because Eastman's going to help him as well. And Dan Duncan, a new comic artist, is going to be doing interiors. I'm fucking pumped for this. It's about goddamn time the Turtles have returned to comics.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing is some of the villains, they mentioned like Old Hob. Okay, I understand they got to get new villains in there and everything. I'm just not so sure about a mutant alley cat.
Why not? Going after Turtles?
Not your introductory villain, though.
Yeah, but you gotta... Yeah, okay. I don't disagree on that regard. It did sound weird, but I'm gonna give it a shot because, I mean, Turtles is all about, you know, weird mutant animal characters.
No, I agree. And I'm glad that they're gonna keep Casey Jones in there. He's my favorite turtle character, besides Raphael. Oh,
I think he's Kevin Eastman's favorite turtle character as well.
So, I love the dynamic that he and Raphael have together. So, I hope they keep that together as well.
Yeah, someone mentioned this in the comments. I think I read it on Comics Alliance. It's also at comicattack.net. We did a preview of it as well. But Dan Duncan, the artist, he does draw the same expression on all four turtles.
Yeah.
Which is a little like, oh, shit. I hope that changes. But maybe it was just for this cover. Who knows? But it looks good, right?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's got a little... Manga influence in it, but it works for me.
Yeah. Only other issue I have is a $3.99 introductory price. I mean, that's going to be tough for people that aren't into the Turtles. I mean, but the Turtles have a big enough following that I think it's not going to be an issue overall.
Yeah, I think it's going to sell really well, to be honest with you. It's been a very long time since a Turtle series has been out, and the one that was out before it, called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think it was Tales of the TMNT by Mirage right before they went under. It was black and white, and it was like stories that harkened back to the old Mirage run of Turtles, which who the fuck read that? So it wasn't even its own thing. Like, it was set in like a past timeline with continuity I didn't know, and it was very hard to like just jump on since I hadn't been reading at that time, but I'm pumped for this.
Yeah, I love the fact that Eastman's on it. I think that's going to be
Keller. What's so funny is I met him at Comic-Con last year. It's in an article if you search my first San Diego Comic-Con on the site. I recapped when I met Kevin Eastman. But, dude, he was the nicest guy. The nicest guy. I buy heavy metal now because it's the only thing he does, and I want to support him.
Well, you know what? You'll be able to support him with this new comic.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. And one thing I hope, too, is IDW announced they're going to be reprinting a lot of the old stuff, which is also about time because it's been so hard to get.
Yeah, I know. I've mentioned it to you how much I actually wanted to get it before I knew it was out of print.
I do have the trade that came out a year ago.
We'll trade. I'll give you Band of Brothers. You give me that. Then we'll get...
No way. Kevin signed it for me at Comic-Con. It says to Andy, and there's a turtle sketch in it. There's no way I'm getting rid of that.
No, I'm not saying overall. I'm just saying so I can read it.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
Well, then, you know what? My Band of Brothers is signed, and you can't get that shit either, dick.
He signed it. I can't loan that out. It's Kevin Eastman.
Okay, well, then I'll come over to your house and read it.
You know what I do have that you can have?
What?
Sorry, I got to be a fanboy on that, Daniel. I'm sorry. It's like the only thing. But I do have a DVD of every single Turtles issue.
Okay. Then I will borrow that.
Yeah, and you can put it in your computer and you can, like, read it digitally.
Okay. Because I can understand you being a fanboy. I wouldn't let you touch my New Mutants 98.
You can touch it and hold it. You just can't take it with you.
Okay, so you're saying I can read it as long as I'm at your place.
I didn't say you could read it. I said you could touch it and hold it.
So I can touch it and hold it open to several pages and look at them intensely.
Yes. The yes. Wordage. That is okay.
Okay, all right, clearing that up.
But one thing I do hope they reprint is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventure series. I know we talked about it in episode one when we talked with Dave Raposa on the Comics Dispatch. We talked a lot of turtles in that interview. But that is the series that got me into comics. My mom would take me to the comic shop every month. I would get the new issue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures, and she would buy one for herself, which she kept in mint condition. So I have the entire run twice over, one of all used copies and the other of well-preserved copies. It's not worth shit. But that was an amazing turtle series. And it starts out like akin to the cartoon. It's only for like the first five issues, and then it just takes off, and it's its own thing. The cartoon couldn't even touch it in terms of how great the stories were. They introduced so many new characters, my favorite of which being Ninjara, Raphael's love interest. She was like a ninja fox and was awesome. Yeah. bunch more. Cuddly the Cowlick, a flying cowhead that travels through space. So will you be buying all these issues, Daniel?
Yeah, I probably will. I'm a huge turtle fan.
Nice. Yeah, look for it in August. It looks awesome. I'm going to buy the variants. I have to. I'm a turtle fan.
It depends on how good they look. I actually bought two variants this past week.
So I've bought like seven.
I have to make sure that variants look good, at least to my style. Like, I bought the Gates of Gotham variant.
That was nice.
And I also bought the Batman and Robin variant from this past week.
Also nice. I bought all the X-Men Evolution variants so far.
But we all know why I bought the Batman and Robin one.
Why?
Jason Todd on the cover.
Yeah, he's in jail, right?
Yeah, it's an amazing variant. So, and he's my favorite DC character.
Mine's Tim Drake.
Yeah, you're a dick.
Oh, that was a great issue, too.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how they take that character.
And it's a miniseries, so, I mean, Scott Snyder has made a case for himself, Scott Snyder, that he deserves a regular position on a Bat book.
Well, I think this one's going to have, like, some lasting ramifications, too.
I hope so. The guy's money. And American Vampire comes out this week, which is exciting.
Yeah, the second volume, right?
Second volume. The hardcover and the new issue, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't see if the issue came out. I'm getting them in hardcovers.
Sweet. All right, so let's talk some quick hits, bring some news at you in a fast style. First up is Storyboard Graphic Novels. It's a company that was founded by Zen Intergalactic Ninja, for all the cult following
out there. Zen Intergalactic Ninja.
Hey, it's
I'm
awesome.
Not laughing at them, I'm just laughing at that name. It's amazing.
Yeah. Created by Steve Stern, who has created this company now, Storyboard Graphic Novels, which... If you're a screenwriter or a playwright or I don't know, whatever, most likely a screenwriter though, you can have your script converted into like a full color graphic novel, a black and white graphic novel, or a like 48 page comic, either color or black and white, which you can then pitch as a script to, you know, producers or studios. So you'll actually have like a comic book done of your script. So it's already storyboarded and hence the title of the company, which you can then, you know, hopefully get it picked up. And make some coin. So that's cool. Storyboard Graphic Novels. I think that's their website.com. Check them out. We also did a little write-up of them on the site. So, yeah. what do you think of that, Daniel?
I like
it. You always put the thing on mute, don't you?
I do. But at the same time, it's so I can laugh a little bit more. But, I like the idea. The only thing I don't like with the press release that you guys have on comicattack.net is he doesn't seem to know what future direction he wants with the company.
Yeah, I agree. Because you're like, what's the long-term goal? Doesn't have one. Yeah.
That's the only thing that gets me skeptical. But, I mean, living here in L.A., you know he's going to be getting tons of business.
Yeah, he already had seven projects. So... Cool. All right, next quick hit. Who will betray Alpha Flight? I'm shocked this is even news. Who gives a fuck?
Who would? I mean, aren't these guys mostly closely associated with X-Men?
Yeah, but they're like... I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Alpha Flight. I don't think it's headline worthy for who will betray them. I guess we're making it headline worthy. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
But
the only characters I know in Alpha Flight are Puck, Northstar, and Sasquatch.
You don't know Aurora or Guardian or Vindicator?
I know of Vindicator, but I mean, I just never followed the Alpha Flight.
I really haven't either. I just know of them through the cartoon and some recent stuff.
I mean,
but yeah,
I mean,
they're mutants.
Puck. I think he's an amazing character.
He's great in Wolverine right now, right?
Yeah.
Or he was in the last story arc. Well, I think, I mean, they're trying to make it seem like obvious that it's Puck. Like, oh, he's devious, so I've been in hell all this time, but...
But the thing is, isn't Aurora that's Northstar's sister?
Yes.
Isn't she the one that's, like, Typhoid Mary style with, like, multiple personalities?
Honestly, I don't know.
I think that's the one that's going to do it, but I don't know.
I think it's going to be the Aqua girl.
The Aqua shit. Girl?
I forget her name.
It's DC.
I know. I know it's not Aqua Girl, but she's like Marine Chick. I don't know what the fuck her name is, but I think it's going to be her.
If her name isn't Marine Chick, it should be now.
All right, so that's going down. That's the 8-issue series that begins real soon of Alpha Flight. Like I said, I'll read it. I'll review it in the Uncanny X-Files, but...
Are they mutants? Oh, well, I guess Northstar's a mutant.
Yeah, they're all mutants. Most of them were dead in Bendis's, New Avengers? He killed them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they came back in Chaos War, which is still confusing. I don't know how that happened, but they're back, and they're going to have an 8-issue mini.
Yeah.
So I didn't read that .1 issue yet, so...
We sold out of it. I couldn't read it.
So did we.
So, Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg are in the Transformers Hall of Fame. I didn't know this existed. I had no idea that there was a Transformers Hall of Fame. Obviously, Michael Bay did not get in for Transformers 2.
Yeah. Where is this Hall of Fame, does it say?
I don't see it in here, but any Transformer fanboys, email us and let us know where this Hall of Fame is. I would like to see this in some sort of recording of some sort.
It was in the second annual Hall of Fame ceremony where it was announced.
They will celebrate more than 25 years of more than meets the eye action. During 2011 Transformers BotCon. Oh, in Pasadena. There we go. Andy, you need to cover this. It's in Pasadena. Come on, that's like your own backyard, right?
It is. It is right near the store. It is where that store is. Is what it is.
But this makes me wonder, is there a GoBots Hall of Fame or a Power Rangers Hall of Fame?
Power Rangers Hall of Fame I would go to. I would like to see that. I would like to see a Power Rangers Hall of Fame. But a Transformers Hall of Fame, I don't give a crap.
I couldn't believe it when I read it.
I've never been into Transformers. I've been into Beast Wars and Beast Machines, which Transformers fans kind of like have written off, which may be why I like it, because I don't like regular Transformers. I'm sorry. I just can't get into it. I don't give a fuck about robots.
Alien robots come to fight on Earth. Can't they, like, go to Mars where there's nobody living?
I was never a car fan. Like, I don't give a shit about cars. I'm very ignorant when it comes to cars. But I love animals, so I got into Beast Wars. Dinobot was my favorite character.
I mean, with Transformers running around and G.I. Joes and Ghostbusters, who knows? I mean, the world is obviously ending.
Yeah. And there's a Transformers Hall of Fame, so...
that is the sign of the rapture.
Yeah. So, G. Willow Wilson, she's reinventing Mystic, which is the old cross-gen series. Marvel's doing, you know, their reboots. They've already done Ruse. They've already done Sigil. Both are almost finished. I think Ruse issue 3 comes out this week. Sigil 3 came out last week. But, G. Willow Wilson, she's best known for her Vertigo run on Air, which I really enjoyed. I didn't finish it yet. I still have the third volume to read, and then I think there's a fourth. So I'm only about halfway through it, but I think it's great. I think she's a really solid writer. So it's cool that she's taken over cross-gen book.
I guess. I mean, Sigil is rough to get through. Ruse is actually pretty good. I don't.
I like Sigil.
Huh?
I like Sigil. I read all three issues back to back this past week, and it's fun. I mean, it's campy.
See, I like Ruse. It's a detective book. Sigil just seems, I don't know, something seems off with it. I mean, I guess it all depends on your style.
No, for sure. I do like Ruse better. It's a little more layered. There's more depth to what's going on, it feels like.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's doing that. Kick ass. Check it out. And also, I think it's a good move by Marvel to do these cross-gen series and 4-issue minis first to see which ones are successful and which ones, you know, they don't need to continue right away.
Obviously, they need to continue Ruse. It's amazing. If any Marvel people are listening, continue Ruse. Jeffrey Catherine Jones is dead at 67. She had died of severe emphysema and bronchitis, as well as a hardening arteries around her heart. She was best known for her stylized Dungeons and Dragons style pictures, portraits. She was also one of the lead people in what was known as the Studio in the 70s with Michael Kaluta, Bernie Wrightson, and Barry Windsor Smith.
Yeah. So. I don't know much about her except for what I read in the Newsarama article. I know that's awful.
I mean, you have to be a fan of that style of work, and from what I can see, it is amazing work. It's just not my style.
Yeah, she did a lot of creepy and eerie, too, I think.
Yeah, creepy, eerie, and I think she did some Wonder Woman as well.
See, I do like her style. I love that. I'm kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like very soft tones. Painted. I like
it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's gone. So comic industry seems to be losing a lot of people recently.
Unfortunately.
But I guess it's bound to happen, right?
Well, as long as we don't lose Stan Lee anytime soon.
Dude, I have to get his signature.
Well, you better hurry up.
I might pay the $100 for it this year at Comic-Con.
See, I'm just hoping I can go to Comic-Con. I think I'm going to take a video camera and record everything.
See, I want to just experience it without the camcorder. That's how I did it last year, and I don't want to go as a reporter.
No, I don't want to go as a reporter. I want to go as a fan with a camcorder.
Yeah, but then you're not like, you know, you're talking through a camera. I don't know. I want to just like talk face to face.
No, I'm going to have somebody following me around with the camera.
Well, let's bring on our special guest. So we are joined now by Rick Bass, an amazing artist and a totally cool dude. Rick, how's it going, man?
It is going awesome.
Most excellent. So what have you been up to this fine Sunday evening?
This fine Sunday evening, I've just been here at home thinking. Actually, I don't have any projects, like books working on right now, but I got some commissions and stuff like that. There's this double pager that Mark Silvestri's of his artifacts, and I blue lined it, so I'm inking over that. I got some Tess Fowler to go over, some Joe B, and awesome yummy stuff that I want to draw later on too.
Dude, that's an awesome list of people you just mentioned. Did you meet Tess on Free Comic Book Day?
No, I actually got I missed her like literally by like an hour.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And no, it's just there's these two pieces that I was inking over her, and like I tell people like if they want me to ink over some of the stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I just warn you though, it's gonna take a while because of Top Cow stuff, you know, I'm always busy. I'm like on these books that are like monthly and stuff.
Right. Tell us about like what goes in, like what's a day in the life of an inker for a Top Cow book?
Day in the life of an inker? Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm a little bit different from all your ordinary or other inkers, because the day in the life of an inker is sit down at a desk and ink. There you go, you know? And, well, you got, like Joe Weems, he's badass, you know, you can't deny that. The guy's good, that's good, like, Scott Williams, like the godfather of inking, and, these guys, you know, they're amazing, and I've seen them crack at that stuff, you know, and it's just like, wow. Like, I just look at their pages still, and I go, one day I'm going to be that good.
Well, I mean, Top Cows, I mean, that's still an honor to be working on a book, you know. I mean, it's like their premier book, number one for the company, but also, I mean, just the guys you're inking, right?
Oh, it's always fun to ink over these guys. I like the fact that it's actually pretty cool being inker to me. You get to jump from literally different artists to different artists, and you get an opportunity to even maybe get like original art from all these artists and not just have your own. Like, I wouldn't mind, you know, being able to draw, you know, draw whatever you want. I'm trying to do that as well on the side, you know. And but to be able to ink over these guys and, like, pretty much collect their artwork is too, you know, it's awesome. I go from, started off with Eric, then I went from Eric to Mark, and then piled on some Michael Broussard, some Sheldon. I did the jam piece for Artifacts. I think it was either Zero, Number One. I don't remember. It was like they made it into a poster. Literally, there was all the artists. It was like Mark was on there, Michael Broussard, Sheldon, Nelson. I even got to work over Cijic. Kenneth Ruckerford, he actually drew his own stuff. His stuff doesn't get inked, but his stuff was on there too. And like, we had this basically this jam cover. And I got to ink over Cijic, which we don't get to see that often, which was pretty cool.
Can you describe that cover to us?
It's got two, like, half of the faces and a bit, like, in big half face, like, in the background. It's got the Angelus flying, or one of the other Angelus, the sister, I think. I'm not sure. She's flying from the bottom towards us. The Angelus side profile, that was by Mark Silvestri. You know, you got Magdalena coming out from the right side. You got Necromancer on the left. And it's pretty crazy. The Witchblade in the middle. The Witchblade from Cijic. It's in the middle, so.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Tell us about your first Top Cow book.
I remember how it started, too. Like, inking, started practicing. Danny Mickey is actually a friend of the family's, and he called one time, you know, just wanted to shoot the breeze, and I answered the phone, and he's asking for my dad, and I was like, nah, he's not here. And stuff like that. I was like, so what have you been doing? Just school and stuff. And like, oh, well, why don't you try inking? And like, I go, yeah, why don't I try inking? And that's actually like how it got started. My brother showed me some tricks, you know, kept on practicing. And all of a sudden, like a year after my brother was in there, he brought me a board and goes, hey, this guy needs an assistant. What do you think? You know? And it was Jay. And Jay's like, okay, well, do you want to help me out? You know, like, I need some help and stuff. And so I'm like, you do start with backgrounds. And so my first background book, like doing backgrounds and stuff, was a book called Felon.
Felon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was, I think, a side publisher as well. And the covers were in color, but the interior pages were black and white.
That's amazing, man. Is it available in trade right now?
In trade? I don't know. I think so. I'm not sure. I just remember it was a long time ago, and I'm like, looking at myself like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Like, I did that line. I did those lines. I inked that ashtray. That was me. Oh yeah. All this black on this page, that was me.
It does have to be an awesome feeling, right?
It is, right, when you're at the end. I mean, like, from the, like, the bottom, and you got to appreciate from where you came from. So, like, from the bottom, you're like, oh, that's right. When you're there, you're like, yeah, that's right. I need that background. That's right. I'm like, look, my name's in the book.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, like, if there's a guy to, you know, be really close with, it would be Danny Mickey, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, that guy, holy shit, his inks are fucking sick.
They are. The guy is amazing.
Yeah,
he's one of the ones, again, sorry, I didn't mention him, but that, yeah, the guy's inks are amazing, especially like over the Spawn stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Yeah. He's got some sick tricks up his sleeve.
And he's just like a really chill dude, too, you know?
Oh, yeah. He was interesting. I remember one time in San Diego, and during Comic-Con, just when I was really, really younger, I don't know if I was even in the industry yet. I don't remember. I remember I was talking to him, whatever, and he's like the first time his first camcorder or something. And then he started like messing with me. So I think he was like following me a little bit and like recording me. And I'm like, really?
Like, hey, man.
Hey, man, this is Rick. Bringing you Comic-Con International in San Diego. How's it going?
I think what we really need to know is, how did you celebrate the rapture?
How did I celebrate the rapture? Oh, you mean yesterday?
Yeah.
There was these group of friends, like this circle, this network that I'm in, like the gamers. I got like, I don't know how I got into it and stuff. It's, I guess, a long story. But my gamer friends, there were five of them that had a birthday on like around the same time, and they celebrated it last night. And it was at one of their houses, and they even rented like a little taco truck man, you know, and he was in the backyard. He was cooking up the tacos. They had chicken and carne asada, and oh my goodness, it was delicious.
So they rented a van?
No, they rented the people.
Oh, okay.
They bring out the grill and stuff.
I was confused on if you could actually do that. Be like, hey, man, I want your tacos, but I don't need the truck.
Yeah, there's some people that cater, you know, that do that, you know. And last night, they called it a Judgment Day party, and you had to dress up like survivors or of something, you know. They had people just putting things together, you know, putting together like outfits. One of them was like a robo pope, you know. This girl, she was half pope and half robot, you know. She got killed and came back to fight the zombies. They built her up as a robot. And so robo pope, and there was another one was a survivor of 28 days later. And me, I was actually, I just put together some stuff, and I go, I'm a zombie hunter. And so it was last minute where I read the description of the invite, and it said, like, oh, costumes are more than welcome. You know, that's what we're trying to push for. And I'm like, all right, you know. So I, like, okay, what do I have? So I wore all black, you know, black shirt, black pants, black shoes. I got the black trench coat, and I rolled up my sleeves, and I had these gloves that I cut off, some of the fingers were missing. I tied the two throwing knives on my arm over the jacket. I got, I have this, like, this sword set, like, they're really thin swords, and they have, like, no round handle. They're, like, flat metal, like, one piece of metal. Awesome. And it's a set of three, and I put that on my back, and I walked in with my, again, my snowboarding goggles around my neck. So I just walked in, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm a zombie hunter.
Well, hey, you made it. You made it kick ass, man. I want to see these swords you speak of.
Oh, all right. I collect weapons, so I got plenty. I actually have a reverse blade sword.
Do you have them made, or do you buy them? Like,
I buy them.
Okay. Have you ever spoken with a weaponsmith about having like a personalized, customized sword?
Oh, no, I would love to.
Yeah, dude. You can do it. I mean, it's not too expensive. It's like $500.
Oh, I would. There's the one sword that I really want to get is Ichigo's sword from Bleach.
I'm not familiar with the manga, but I have heard of it.
He's got this. Literally, it's like as tall as him. It's like this one piece of metal. And again, it has no handle on it. It's a cut. The metal is cut out, like, and that's on the handle. You know, you can hold it by that, but it literally looks like this big, like, meat cleaver. And it's black, so I was like, sweet.
Now, how do you use that, though, if there's, like, no hilt or anything? Like, what's the counter move?
It's got a handle on it, you know, it's cut out like that. There's no hilt on it, but it's just huge that if you use it, you got a longer reach than anyone else's sword.
Yeah. And then you just thrust away, kind of thing?
Yeah.
So do you have Sephiroth's sword?
Who?
Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. He had like a 9-foot sword.
I would want one of those. I've seen like them try to make it like, oh, this is an actual sword. And it's like miniatures, like the half size of your body, you know? And yeah. It's like, oh, that's kind of cute. It's not Mandy. So like, oh, that's kind of cute. That's the collectible you just put on the wall.
Yeah, right. You're like, yeah, that's my sword.
How would you even get home a 9-foot sword, though?
The trunk of your car.
But then you'd have a sword sticking out. I'm pretty sure that's a safety hazard.
No.
You put a red rag at the end of it.
how heavy close. Are those ones? Do you know how heavy they are?
Ooh, like, no. I know.
Would you wield it with one hand or two?
You would have to wield it with two hands, but I can lift quite a bit, you know, so I wouldn't mind. But that sword I want.
What's your favorite weapon in your collection right now?
There's two swords that I actually really like. And then I collected the weapons and stuff, not just that. Like, I have the, I don't know, the guy's in Cronin from Hellboy. Like, the guy that had, like, that baton, knight baton, that nightstick that has a sword instead. Like, I have one of those, you know. I collect different weapons, but it's either this one samurai sword that has, like, a red, like, sheath, and it's sharp. It's really sharp. Or my reverse blade sword, because it's actually sharp as well, but, you know, on the other side.
Yeah. I only own a rapier.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's back home, though. And, dude, weapons are so expensive to ship. Seriously.
I bet.
So, man, tell us about your photography work. It's pretty hot.
Oh, all right. What would you like to know about it?
Like, what got you started in it, you know? Like, what do you use it for? Have you been published?
I'm on some of my friend's website. Let's start from the beginning then. All right. It started off in high school. I was in yearbook. They needed a photographer, and I go, I like taking pictures. I was like, I want to take pictures. So I go, I'll be it. And it started from there because I just went in around taking pictures and stuff. They like my picture, like things like that. It was then interesting because this fan of mine, he actually shipped me like this digital camera. It was like $500. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. You know, it's like, oh, I know you like taking pictures. I see your pictures everywhere. You know, I just wanted to like give you this, you know, happy birthday. And it wasn't near my it was kind of near my birthday and stuff. So I just accepted it. Like, I'll take one. But it started off with this little digital camera, which still had like a 12.1 megapixel on it. And it was really cool. Like a Carl Zenith, like a Sony. And I started off with that. And I have to admit, I got to thank my friends for actually letting me take pictures with this little digital camera.
Right, like that they were
for
comfortable.
It was like one of them actually, it was in a film dance like studio, like class, you know? Mm-hmm. She's used to people actually having like the whole studio, like photography, lights and everything, you know? Flash, like the expensive stuff, you know, the professional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we were shooting, she looked at me and she's like, okay, so where's your equipment? And I'm carrying my little digital camera and I'm like, this is it. She's like, oh, okay. so bad. She's like probably laughing at me on the inside, but she was cool. I had some really cool friends that helped me get started. I started actually off with my little digital camera doing night landscape, you know?
Very cool.
I would see some lights in the city, like put it on the tripod, you know, it would have to take a while to take the picture because it's at nighttime. And I was like, wow, that's actually really cool. And
yeah, just all the different colored lights and stuff.
Of course, yeah. I got some really nice ones. There's some in Pasadena, Rosemead, Maury Park. I went to Long Beach, you know.
Are these on your DeviantArt page? I haven't seen those.
No, actually, those are on my Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the first folder that actually says, like, photo shoots, landscape, you know, number one, part one, whatever. I'm on, like, number five.
What was one of the most beautiful landscapes you've taken witness to?
To me, it's one of my personal favorites. It's not, like, a very I guess, known, because if you just passed by it, like during the day, you would not have figured, but right. late at night. I don't know if you're familiar with the Rosemead area.
I'm not.
Okay. Well, in the city of Rosemead, there's a, it's a two main streets where it crosses. There's Garvey and Rosemead. But they don't cross like a 90 degree perpendicular, you know? They kind of angle a little bit like less, where if you're on Rosemead and there's a wash, I don't know, it's like a man-made river. I call them washes, mm-hmm. you know? And it goes underneath the corner of, like it goes underneath Rosemead and Garvey together. Well, if you stand on Rosemead facing Garvey, you know, there's this bridge and it has all these lights that go across. Well, it works if it's wet in the wash, like if it's barely some water, even if there's just water down there,
mm-hmm.
but it looks really cool if there's barely some water down there, you know, and if you see it at nighttime, you see the reflection of the bridge on the water as well. So it looks really cool, like an industrial, nice-looking, like, scenery.
Right. Yeah, man, I love, like, those water shots, like, when it's really still.
Yes.
Yeah. Shit, man. So what about this this photography? What do you do with these models and stuff?
Oh, it started off as a hobby, you know, since, like, they like my pictures, like, oh, you know, let's take some pictures, you know, and, like, I got some ideas, so we would just start shooting some ideas around, and then we made it happen, where it started off with my, I guess my best friend slash ex, Jessica. She helped me out, and there was this park, and I wanted to try to get the moonlight, because if you go out on the full moon, the moon's really bright at night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I needed, like it didn't pan out the way I wanted to, but the park that we were at, you know, at nighttime, they had this really bright, like soft white, not the yellow light, the soft white. And it pretty much looked like the moonlight on her. So we shot there, and it was hard because the thing is, there's no, I didn't have a tripod with me. So I needed to try to hold the camera, like, still.
Steady.
And my friend is like a sugar junkie. She vibrates, so she couldn't sit still. So we barely got any pictures that were decent.
Right.
So, and on top of all that, she was drinking coffee, and I think she was had a cold that night, too. So I'm like, and it was kind of cold that night, too, as well. So that was the first one. We got, like, so, I think we got, like, three pictures that were actually okay. It started off with... Yeah, it started off there. My friends Alex and Bridget, we did this go-go shoot. My friend Hava, we were in Pasadena on this bridge that goes from like a lower level of street up to like an upper level, you know. It crosses like a river as well, I think, or a wash, I don't know. And actually, I think it goes over train tracks. All right, anyways, she wore this nice dress, you know, nice clothes. And a bartender of mine named Candy, she works at Minaj in Pasadena. Well, she helped me out, and that was at the film school. She was the one that was a film student, and it was like, oh, dear. She's like, oh, that's it? And I'm like, yeah. And then when I started shooting, he actually liked the pictures at the end. I was like, wow, well. She's like, hey, this is not bad for, like, a little thing. My advantage was that, since working in comics, I kind of learned about the whole dynamics of angles, what's a good angle to do.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen a lot of great work.
Yeah, so she actually liked them, and she still uses the pictures till today, which was really cool.
That's an honor, man.
That's how it got started. I actually, when she said, I think you should invest in a camera, and I'm like, I should. And I did. I looked online. And then got myself a Canon Rebel, you know, an XS, and I actually found it at a very good price. It was like only $450 to buy. And yeah.
So an easy way to kick off the future back then.
So where do I go from here now? Is
yeah.
that what?
Yeah.
Since it started off as a hobby, and it's got to the point where they start paying me, and so I'm like, I want to invest in more better equipment. I still like shooting outdoors, maybe move into like a studio apartment and actually use it as a studio as well. You know, I want to do both comics and photography, you know, and I've been doing it, so why not?
Yeah, and just, they both play off each other, as you said.
Yeah, they actually can work whenever you want, you know.
And then you have those photos for reference as well, right?
Yeah, practice makes perfect. I talked to another guy, he does a bunch of covers for magazines and stuff, and David Beltran, oh, the guy is amazing.
So what has he done?
Giving me some points. Like, he's done Straight A's, like Magazine, he's done Lowrider.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like Lowrider females, Kush Candy, Chronic Candy, I think, actually. They're called Kush Cuties. But anyways, the guy's amazing. And he's still going to, I think he's already like top of his game or stuff. And he's still going to school for more photography, like to learn more. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, the guy's not going to give us any, like, give me any chance. I'm trying to work my hardest. And he said, keep practicing. Keep practicing. Keep shooting. Practice, you know. And that's what I do.
Kick ass, man. What do you do more of, photography or inking? Like, what occupies more of your time? Inking?
Yeah, I love it. It's not a day that goes by that I don't ink. Even if I had no work right now, like I finished all my work right now, I would still grab something and start inking it.
What are some of your favorite...
Draw something.
Just to stay fresh, right?
Yeah, draw something and ink over it and do that.
Can you tell us about some of your work outside of Top Cow?
A lot of the stuff has pretty much come from Top Cow.
Right.
Especially because we did that whole contract with Marvel. So I've done like Fantastic Four. There was a Spider-Man cover that we, like my brother and I did. And I have not seen it anywhere, but it's actually pretty cool.
Right. When did you do it?
It was a couple of years ago. 09, 07?
Holy shit.
I think it was 09.
Can you describe it
to
us?
It's Spider-Man on top and Dr. Octopus is like this, like kind of the side of a building and it's a down angle and Spider-Man's right there. He's close up and Dr. Octopus is pretty much a cow and he's holding Mary Jane by the tentacles.
And it never made it to anything so far.
I don't know. It could have. It's just I've never seen it around.
Right. They didn't tell you like what the cover was for. Like they just said we need a Spider-Man.
It was a Spider-Man cover, and I like we never knew the number, and it's like okay, well where is this? Well, it doesn't really matter. You got paid for it. So,
right.
But it's interesting. Very interesting cover.
Did what other stuff have you worked on? Anything else?
Ooh, a good
that,
one
that you are proud
Civil
of.
War.
Civil War.
Civil War. Civil Wars Initiative, the one that Mark did, helped out with
nice.
That one. Because they did a second printing cover, a different variant cover, which was the interior page. That was Iron Man standing there looking at a bunch of the screens. And they shot from Iron Man from behind. He's looking at the screens of all the, I guess, the heroes and like they're out there. And the cool thing is, that's like the last page in the book, and I inked it, and I'm like, oh my god, there's an ink to the cover. And you guys just paid for that as a cover, or no? Like, no. And like, in her desk.
Yeah. It's Marvel, right?
Yeah.
But hey, at least you were in an awesome event book.
Oh, that was. I got to work on the first few issues of Artifacts of Michael Broussard. That was like Top Cow's like biggest like seller book we've had, you know, and it's like wow.
I love those opening four issues. Broussard is amazing.
Oh, I love working over that guy. I'm just so happy I keep getting to. So
his style is perfect for that company as well. Like, it just totally fits in everything Top Cow does. Rick, tell me, what do you love about Gundams?
Gundams, what I love about them and how they look. They are really, like, killer, man. They're sick. They got these... It's a big, giant robot. What do you not like about big, giant robots? And the way they're designed, you know, like, I have a particular taste on how they look. like that catches my eye, and the way they do look is pretty cool. And then you got these things that actually have wings on them, and they're like, oh, that is so awesome. I grew up in the age of Voltron. I watched Voltron, Silverhawks, you know, Thundercats, He-Man, you know, so I grew up on Voltron and Transformers, you know?
Yeah, and they move, right?
Yeah.
We actually just got done talking about the Transformers, so do you think there should be a Gundam Hall of Fame?
A Gundam Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's a Transformers Hall of Fame. Do you think there should be a Gundam one?
Well, yeah, why not? It's an anime, too. Manga, anime, and you got these different robots and series.
What is the gist of Gundam?
I don't really know. they're just really cool. That's what I really like about them, you know? They're aesthetically pleasing.
How
do you not?
Right, when you say you build a robot, how tall are we talking?
Oh, like the model, or like the fact that the actual size Gundams are supposed to be?
Like the model.
Oh, okay, the model? Like, I would love to actually build one that's like literally like 2 feet tall.
Oh, it's awesome.
I don't care how long it took. I would love to build one that's 2 feet tall.
Could you program it to like make you drinks and stuff?
Oh, I would. I actually, the first time I went to college was for electronic communication, so I know all the circuitry. I built some motherboards and circuits and solder that crap together, put it inside of them.
Dude, amazing. Like, what was, how many things have you built that you've given life to?
Oh, I've not built anything, but I've taken them apart, fixed them, and put them back together. That started like right before college. I was still in high school. I started messing around with my remote control cars, and my dad's drill. That he got pissed because I didn't actually fix it. I think I made it worse.
I think we've all done that at some point. Why did you take that apart? I wanted to see how it worked.
Yeah, what's all these coils in here? Do we really need these?
And it just looks awesome. It looks like a miniature city or something.
It does.
Yeah.
But I always been like fascinated with circuitry as well, and went to college. I went to LA Trade Tech for it and electronic communications, and right when I got out, you know, like I graduated, then bam, in a top cow, and I'm like, okay.
Works for me.
Totally different career like direction. But it again, I've always wanted to be in comic books like since I was 6 years old.
What comics did you read when you were 6 years old?
Batman.
Yeah.
Batman and Avengers.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, my dad had like all of, like most of like the whole collection. I was like from 1 to like 500. He had a lot of them.
What?
But when I got a hold of them, there wasn't 500. There was around like 300 or something like that. I don't know. But when I was younger, we spent our money on comic books, you know? And we hunted them down. And you want to know what now? The first series of Avengers, I actually have from the beginning to end, from 1 to whatever it ended at.
That is awesome.
Like every number. Like the first appearance of Captain America in Avengers, number 4. I have that one. I have the first one, number 1.
Are they in mint condition?
No, a lot of them are, but the old ones, it was hard when you're a kid, you know, trying to keep something in mint condition. Yeah, right.
You're just like, comics.
Let me fold it in half.
Put it in your pocket.
That's what my dad said they used to do back in the day. You used to get the comics, roll it up, and stick it in the back pocket. I'm like, oh.
What are you doing? You're losing so much coin.
You know how much that's going to be worth later? Like, what, a dollar?
Yeah, right. What's your favorite Avengers issue?
Huh?
What's your favorite Avengers issue?
Oh, the one with the first appearance of the Black Knight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Black Knight's badass.
Yeah, he went from a regular sword to, like, this laser lightsaber sword. I'm like, dude, and then the guy stopped shaving after a while because they always drew him with like this leather jacket and scruff.
He's
so
He's one of my favorite, like, British characters.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Yeah, he does. Have you seen the Eagle Moss figures? Have you heard of those?
No, I have not.
I think you'd dig them. The next time you're in the store, I'll show you. They're just, like, perfect, like, poses for these characters. And the Black Knight one is amazing. They're, like, maybe, I don't know, 3.5 inches tall, made of lead, all hand-painted. And, like, they have a Black Knight one. He's just standing on guard with his sword. He's got a sweet-looking cape. It's cool.
Nah, I've got to check that out. Well, anytime you guys want me to come by the store, you know, like, I'm local. I don't like just being able to just limit it to, like, oh, free comic book day. If you guys ever want me there, just let me know.
Oh, yeah, man. You don't have anything lined up right now, though, that's coming out?
Besides Darkness number 91 just came out.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, we got to do a signing, you know? We'll just bring you in.
There you go. We got Darkness 91. I'm on 90. I'm going to be working on 93 right now. Is it 93 or 94?
So that doesn't come out probably till like, what, August, September?
I think August.
Let's do it.
But yeah, just let me know.
I shall. But, what's it like working on the Darkness? Like, such a dynamic character. Like, so much shit going on. You know,
yeah, it is, and I like how people interpret his costume different ways. Where there's you've noticed how the Darkness kind of like has holes on the top layer, and then there's a bottom layer skin to his costume.
Mm-hmm.
They all do the detail differently, and from Mark to Michael to Sheldon, they draw the Darkness mask a little differently as well. Michael actually, I think, did his own changes on it. And, like, right underneath the eye is, like, this little spike, and it has, like, little detail in it. So, it's cool to see, like, oh, that's a cool way to draw it. That's a cool way to draw it. And I keep on having to kick myself in the butt and go, you know what? I want to, like, make up one of his face masks myself.
I've got my own take.
That's right. So how can I do it? And then I blank out when I get the paper. I'm like,
isn't that how it works, though? That's always how it works.
Yep. True.
what character, like, superhero character, would you love to take on? Like, do your own, like, book or ongoing run or mini?
What character?
Black Knight?
Venom. Love that character. I wanna draw Venom.
Current Venom or, like, old school Venom?
Mark Bagley Venom.
Ah, okay.
But the thing is, I gotta admit, you know, when you had the Todd and the Mark Bagley Venom, that was really cool. But once Joe Madd got on him, I gotta admit, he made him look wicked.
Instead of just like a muscly kind of guy?
Well, he is a bodybuilder. He went from being a photographer to the Daily Bugle to, like, being a bodybuilder and, like, a villain and stuff. So he always worked out in the sewers. So he's supposed to be this muscly dude, but with the agility of Spider-Man. So it's like, wow.
Is he your favorite Spider-Man villain?
Yeah, he's actually my favorite character.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't like when they started drawing you know how he had the white on his face, the eyes?
Mm-hmm.
They started drawing the eyes on there, and I'm like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's so weird, because it's like you would not see through to his face. Like, and why would you just see, like, it's just weird. It is jarring. Like, it doesn't need to be there, right?
It didn't need to be there. I was like, no, take these out.
What are you thinking?
Other than that,
what do you think this
series again?
What do you think of the new take on Venom?
Well, I haven't seen it ever since past Joe Madd, so
okay. That him like a almost like a he's like a hitman kind of for the American government. So he's like walking around in like you know, like. Hitman clothes. I don't know, Daniel, how would you describe it?
Oh, wow. He's a hitman now?
Well, essentially, he's a Captain America that nobody can know about.
Whoa. And does he like fight crime and that stuff, or does the suit come out when he fights crime?
Yeah, I guess he's the government's anti-terrorism unit. So it's actually been a pretty good book, but it's really hard to describe. Like, I remember in the first issue, they had him going to like Afghanistan, and he had to stop somebody that was in connection with like the Tinkerer or some sort of thing like that. So it was actually pretty interesting.
All right, you got to send me those books. I want to see what this is about.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different take on the character. But do you know who Venom is?
Yeah, Eddie Brock.
Hmm. Not anymore.
That was like four Venoms ago.
Oh, my good. That's who it always was, so that's why. Who is Venom now? Man, I've been out of the loop.
Flash Thompson.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right, Daniel?
How did this... all right, I got to get these books. You got to put them aside. I got to see how this happens.
Yeah.
Well, before that, it was actually Mac Gargan or the Scorpion.
Really? You're just throwing the feet on anyone now?
No. Well, yes and no. They put it on Mac Gargan, and he was Venom for a good 10, 15 years or so. At least it seemed like that.
No, not that long.
Probably. Yeah, no. Well, no.
Well, because he was Venom all the way through Siege, for sure.
Yeah, but that wasn't 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying like he was Venom before that as well.
Not consistently, was he?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Like even in the Civil Wars, was that him too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because Brock hasn't been seen in comics in a long time.
What happened to him? What did they say about him, anyways?
Beats the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Spider-Man.
He kind of disappeared. I don't know. Maybe he got a job somewhere else. But yeah, it was Gargan for the longest time, and he had a great run as Venom. Like he had him in Dark Avengers versus the X-Men, and they're sitting there having a little meeting, and he eats some Paris Hilton wannabe's little dog, and everything too. It was funny as hell. I remember the scene perfectly.
Oh no, I know who Eddie Brock is right now. He's anti-Venom.
Oh, is he anti-Venom?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I always figure anti-Venom should have been Aunt May.
I thought that was Carnage. He should have been anti-Venom.
Yeah, right? Do you think Venom's cooler than Carnage because he's an actual man?
Well, Carnage started off with Eddie's cellmate, you know? I think he was crazy. Like, I liked how they had him during then.
Right.
You mean with Cassidy being a serial killer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That they described the suit, you know?
Well, he's back, actually. He's in his own miniseries right now.
Yeah, it's pretty sick art, too.
Wow.
It's Clayton Crane doing the artwork.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really, like, crazy. Like, it's the way you want Carnage to look. If it's not, you know.
I don't know how you can improve on him. Like, I like the way he looked already when he first came out, you know?
It's just done a little more, like, you know, surreal in a way.
No, okay.
As opposed to, like, cartoony.
Yeah, he has a lot more dark undertones with him.
It's cool.
It's cool.
No. So
that is insane.
Rick, man, tell us where people can, like, check out some of your stuff, like your website and whatnot.
It's not a .com just yet. Is like under my sister's a graphic designer, so she's building up my website, so it's like, oh, it's under this portal that you can get it for free. It's just under, like, it's not rickbass.com or rickbassphotography.com. It's like this weird crystalportal.net/forward, and it's a really weird thing that I can't even remember.
Okay.
But there's a link to it on my Facebook.
Which is Rick Bass, or...
You can find me on Facebook by my name, you know, Rick Buckledua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Kick ass. Well, hey, dude, thanks for coming in, talking with us. You got anything else you want to say to close out?
Buy comics. They are cool. And don't neglect your video games.
Don't neglect your video games.
Do not neglect your video games.
So just comics and video games should be your life.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I threw in some anime in there too.
What's the best anime that you love? Like, what's your top show to watch?
My top what? Like three?
Sure.
All right, top three. Top is actually Dragon Ball Z. Love that show. I can never just get enough of it. I got all of it, except Dragon Ball. I want power, so I started from Z. Dragon Ball Z is my favorite. Second favorite is Full Metal Alchemist, and third is Bleach.
Yeah, I only hear good things about Bleach. I gotta check it out.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah,
samurai with power. You can't get no better than that.
Where would one begin to watch Bleach?
Episode 1.
Well, I know, but what's it called?
Bleach.
Bleach. It's called Bleach.
It's on Netflix.
Is it really?
I believe so. Yeah, I think Abby's watched plenty of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to try, go to like an anime site and try to like Bleach like Portal or Bleach.Portal or something like that. I started on YouTube. Watch it in Japanese before it hits the American dubbed. Watch it in Japanese. Read it. It's actually funnier. They actually curse in there.
Nice. So that's the uncensored version then.
You gotta watch it uncensored. It's hilarious. Even if you read it, it's hilarious. And if you hear the voices in Japanese, honestly, they're much better than the English voices.
How far in? Like, how many, you know, I don't know, volumes or whatever are there?
Ooh, I don't know. I just know I stopped at episode 160, 170. So wow. I got to watch from there to, like, 250 or 300.
Holy crap. That's a lot of episodes. Well, hey, man. Again,
all right.
What's going on, my friend? If we gotta have you by the store sooner than later.
Anytime.
Kick ass, man. All right, my friend.
All right, man.
Yeah, great talking to you.
You too. You guys have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Later.
So that wraps this episode of the Comics Dispatch. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with Joshua Fialkoff, the writer of Tumor, Echoes. We've got some Marvel work coming out later, and DC, I believe. So tune in next week, every Tuesday, new episode, and we'll talk to Josh. If you have any questions, comments, send them to
Daniel@comicattack.net
and Andy@comicattack.net. All right, my friends.
See ya.